Blog Talk Radio.
He's at the 20, still in speed, 25, 30, 35. He's got a chance, beat the block. He's in midfield. He's going to take it to the house. See ya, 91 yards. Breaks one tackle. He's got some running room, 30, 35. He could go down the far sideline. I don't think we're going to get him. He's going to have a chance, though. He takes him into 39 at the 40. Comes to the outside, 45. He's at midfield. Runs past the man, 40. He's coming back the other way. He's at the 30. He's at the 25, 20, 15, 10. He may go home, and he does. Holy cow!
Kick in the air. LSU wins. I can tell you for sure now, LSU wins.
The sun will soon find its home in the western sky, and it will be Saturday night in Death Valley.
And welcome to Bengal Beat, a Tiger Hype podcast. I am your host, Patrick Fry, and I am here each week talking LSU football. Thank you so much for giving us a listen. Go follow our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, and also our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. Well, guys, it is now official. LSU will be heading to the Texas Bowl on December the 29th to take on the Red Raiders of Texas Tech. We will get into that matchup in just a little bit, but the first thing I want to do is to recap the season and get everyone up to speed as to how we got to where we are now, because it was absolutely a crazy season, one that I'll certainly remember for a long, long time. So let's backtrack now back to the first week of – well, let's backtrack to the preseason. You know, we started doing this podcast this season. I believe it was the last weekend of July, and there was just a lot of talk, you know, heading into the season about what to expect. There was a lot of talk about who's going to be the quarterback and, you know, whether or not – and obviously it's been Brandon Harris the entire way except for maybe a few snaps that Anthony Jennings got in for mop-up duty, but Brandon Harris was the starter, and then – of course, we talked about Leonard Fournette and just some impact freshman. Arden Key was one guy we talked about having a huge impact. So there was a lot of talk about a lot of things over the preseason, and I was just very eager to get the season underway. And then September the 5th rolls around. September the 3rd was the opening night of the college football season. September the 5th was the first Saturday. So we get to that Saturday, and it was absolutely beautiful weather in Baton Rouge all day long, September the 5th. And then I guess, you know, when it came time down to play football that night, Mother Nature just – it was ironic enough that the weather comes in and absolutely pours down raining in Tiger Stadium when it was time for LSU and McNeese to take the field. Of course, they played 5 minutes, and then the game was – we had a weather delay, and then we had a weather delay after weather delay after weather delay, and eventually the game was canceled later that night. So we had to wait another week to get some LSU football in, and that was very upsetting to me because I'm a McNeese State alumni and I'm an LSU fan. I'm still going to McNeese to get my graduate my master's degree, but I was very anxious to see that game. I also had a bet with a friend on that game. He bet me that $20 that McNeese was going to win, and I figured that was an easy $20. And of course, the game didn't happen. I never got my $20, and you know, that was a very interesting way to start the season. So, the week after that, we jump right into SEC West play, where we have to face a team that came into Tiger Stadium the year before and pretty much blew us out of the building against Mississippi State. Leonard Fournette, 159 yards. He started off his great season right there. He was the sole, pretty much the sole spark in that game. I think he scored – did he score all three touchdowns in that game? I don't even remember. That was a long time ago. But he was the lone and primary offensive threat that night. And we actually got away with a 21-19 victory after Mississippi State missed a field goal as time expired in the game. So we got the close win against Mississippi State. And then the next week we come back to Tiger Stadium where we could finally – get a full home game in, the first full home game against Auburn. It was a highly anticipated matchup coming into the season because there was a lot of high expectations for Auburn, and I believe it was the week before they got taken overtime by Jacksonville State, who Jacksonville State by no means is, a cupcake team. They're actually the number one team in the FCS playoffs right now, so that was pretty interesting. And from the get-go, we blew out Auburn. It wasn't even close. Leonard Fournette took off, I think, on a 71-yard run on the first play of the game, and LSU never looked back after that. Then we beat them 51-24 was the final there. Then the week after that, we take a road trip up north to Syracuse, New York, where we got to play in the Carrier Dome, and we got away with a 34-24 victory there. Leonard Fournette had I think he had over 200 yards in that game. I should have pulled out the stats, but I just put the schedule up here because I remember every game because I watched every game. And we go up there, 34-24 victory for LSU. And then we come back home, Eastern Michigan. That was a little bit of a sloppy game at first, but LSU ran away with that one. It was 44-22, the final there, Eastern Michigan. Then a little bit of craziness starts to happen. We're getting ready to take on South Carolina. South Carolina unfortunately suffered. There was a lot of flooding in Columbia, South Carolina. So, and ironically enough, LSU gets a game canceled in Tiger Stadium. We get one back. So they decided to move the South Carolina game to Tiger Stadium. And what would turn out to be Steve Spurrier's final game as head coach at South Carolina. It was a 48-2. I can't even remember the score of that game. I'm going to have to go look it up real quick because I want to be precise with these results. I think it was, 48-20, something like that. Let's see. I can get it for you right here. Luckily, I have a favorites tab of this on my laptop. It was a 45-24. 48-20 was the Western Kentucky score. We'll get to that in a second. But South Carolina, we beat them 45-24. That game was in Baton Rouge, moved over to Baton Rouge because of the flooding. And then the next week, huge game against Florida in the preseason. Nobody expected Florida to be this good under first-year head coach Jim McElwain. Well, they come down here to Baton Rouge and play an absolutely fantastic game. And LSU wins that game on a fake field goal where I think it was Trent Domain scored on the fake field goal, giving us the 35-28 lead and then eventually the 35-28 victory. Then the week after that, Western Kentucky comes into town. Brandon Daugherty and one of the top passing offenses in the nation come into Tiger Stadium, and we beat them 48-20. We then get a bye week for Halloween, and then the week after that is the huge showdown with Alabama. The initial college football playoff rankings had LSU at number 2 and then had Alabama at number 4. We go down to Tuscaloosa, and to be honest, the score, 30-16, the final score, 14-point win for Alabama. It didn't even really feel that close at all. Even when LSU kind of hung around for a little bit in the first half, it never felt that close. LSU loses that game to Alabama. So, you know, it wasn't really surprising, because I wasn't surprised, especially when the line came out for that game. I think Alabama was already a 7-point favorite. So right then and there, I knew something was up, and Alabama got away with the win. And unfortunately, LSU is still jinxed, in my opinion, against Alabama ever since the 2011 season national championship game. So then, the week after that, we come back home against Arkansas, and LSU, keep in mind, LSU still has a lot to play for. You know, only one loss to Alabama, not bad. And we come home against Arkansas, and we come out absolutely flat, 31-14 at home to Arkansas. 2 years in a row now, we get embarrassed by Arkansas, by an Arkansas team that we probably shouldn't get embarrassed by. So at this point, there's a little bit of rumors going around that Les Miles could be coaching for his job the following week against Ole Miss. And so we go down to Oxford and we lose that game 38-17. And then next thing you know, that week was probably one of the more unusual weeks in recent memory of LSU football, because 1 minute Les Miles was fired. Next minute he's not, then he is again, and there was just so much back and forth between Les Miles being fired and not fired that we go into the Texas A&M bowl game, and I mean, not the bowl game, the Texas A&M game, the final game of the season, senior night, and you know, everybody's of the belief that it's pretty much Les Miles' farewell party against Texas A&M, and LSU then pulls out a 19-7 victory to cap off the regular season, finishing 8-3, and Les Miles is carried off the field. Turns out that Joe Oliva decided to keep Les Miles. And there's a lot of rumors out there, I guess. Supposedly they went after Jimbo Fisher and just didn't work out keeping Les Miles. And now that leads us to where we are now, which is Texas Bowl versus Texas Tech. So LSU was able to land a bowl bid not too far down the road, at least not from too far down from me. I'm here in Lake Charles, and Houston is about 2 hours away on a good drive. So would be nice to go check out that game, but I don't think I'll be able to. But so now we're matched up with Texas Tech in the Texas Bowl. So let's take a look at some statistics for Texas Tech. Total offense, second in the nation in total offense, averaging 594 yards per game. That's all, six away from 600, guys. I mean, that's all you need to know right there. Rushing offense, 30th in the country, not third, 30th in the country, which is not bad at all, to over a little over 204 yards per game. Now their passing offense, second in the country, 389 passing yards per game. Also second in the country in scoring offense. They're averaging 46 points a game. So just off the bat, I can tell you right now, this LSU defense is going to have their hands full with this Texas Tech offense. First in the country in third down conversion percentage. Now, that's one area of concern for me for our defense because, you know, LSU sometimes third down defense is pivotal because, you know, we always get these teams in third down. LSU will get teams in third down situations very, very often due to their just great defense on first and second downs. And sometimes, especially with a high-powered passing offense like this, you give up a lot of third down conversions. And whenever you give up a lot of third down conversions, especially within one drive or even throughout a game, you know, your defense stays on the field a very, very long time. They get worn out. So, an area of concern, their third down conversion percentage is first in the country. First down offense, third in the country, so they got the third most first downs in the country. Red zone offense, they're tied for 13th in the country. They score 90% of the time. Now, their red zone defense, not that great. 80th in the country, they're allowing teams to score 85% of the time. Take a look at their total defense. Now, if anything, this is where LSU is going to thrive. LSU will be able to move the ball against this team, 126th in total defense. Their rushing defense is 125th. So Leonard Fournette should have a field day against this Texas Tech defense. Passing yards allowed, 113th. And then their team passing efficiency defense is 92nd. So I've been able to see Texas Tech play a few times this year. They can score. They cannot stop people from scoring. I have a feeling this could be a shootout, and it's going to be interesting to see whether or not this LSU defense can make stops when they have to, because let's face it, there's been times this year where the LSU secondary has been known to have some busted coverages, and this is probably the best passing offense they're going to face all season long, because of course the SEC, their passing game, their quarterbacks at least, have been down this year. And we did face already a top three passer in the nation in Brandon Daugherty. That was Western Kentucky in Tiger Stadium. This is a little bit different animal. This is the Texas Tech Red Raiders out of the Big 12 with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. So for those of you who don't know who Patrick Mahomes is, this kid is the son of a former Major League Baseball pitcher, Pat Mahomes, and this kid has an arm. Maybe not so much on the mound, but certainly on the gridiron. The kid can throw, and you know, he's in this system that Cliff Kingsbury has. Of course, Cliff Kingsbury, for those of you who don't know, was the offensive coordinator at Texas A&M for Johnny Manziel's tenure over there in a College Station. So he can certainly get a quarterback. So Texas Tech, they're 7-5 on the year. I'm looking at their schedule right now. They really don't have any significant wins that stick out to me other than on the road at back in September. They won that game 5-24, and I'm trying to find their lowest point total of the season, which will be 26, November 7th. At West Virginia. So they lost that game 31-26. So Now, defensively, this is absolutely I'm gonna tell you some of the numbers that they've given up over the past couple of games. They gave up 45 to Texas. They gave up 44 to Kansas State. They gave up 31 to West Virginia. They gave up 70 to Oklahoma State, and 63 to Oklahoma, and 20 to defensive game overall of the season. They gave up 45 to Sam Houston State way back in the opening weekend of the season. So Texas Tech defense is not superb by any means. So it'll be it should be a fairly productive day for this LSU offense. And if LSU's offense can't move the ball against Texas Tech, well, we might have some issues. So let's take a look at a couple of key players on offense for Texas Tech. There's a few of them. Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback, 4,283 passing yards, which is third in the NCAA. So this will be the second top five passing yards quarterback that we play other than Brandon Daugherty. 32 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, 65% completion rating, 356 yards per game. So Patrick Mahomes certainly putting up the numbers. The one downside to him, he does throw a lot of interceptions. I think he had 4 interceptions in one game against Oklahoma this year. So if LSU can, you know, force him to throw some picks, that would be great. Now, his top target is Jakeem Grant. And I tell you what, this kid is a playmaker. He's probably their best playmaker on offense. He has 1,143 receiving yards on the season, 7 touchdowns, and averages 95 receiving yards per game. And then their running back, DeAndre Washington. We talk a lot about their passing game, and their running game is 30th in the country, which is by no means bad at all. DeAndre Washington, 1,455 rushing yards, so he almost has 1,500 yards, 14 touchdowns, and averages 6.5 yards per carry. So he may not be a Leonard Fournette, but he's certainly putting up some serious numbers that are nothing to scoff at. So this Texas Tech offense is very, and then they move the ball. They're one of those teams that they're going to hurry. So they're going to score against LSU. No doubt about it. I wouldn't be shocked if LSU gave up at least 20 to 30 points to this Texas Tech offense, because they're that good, and they just play. They so happen to play in a conference where everybody scores a lot of points, and you know, Texas Tech, they're just they can score, but you know, they just can't outscore some of these other teams like Oklahoma, Baylor, TCU, and Oklahoma State. So going to be interesting on December the 29th to see how well this LSU defense can stop this Texas Tech offense. So let's talk now a little LSU basketball. Now, after a 3-game losing skid, the LSU basketball team bounced back in a huge way last week after dropping 119 points on North Florida and defeating them 119 to 108. Ben Simmons had a career night for LSU with 43 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 steals, and 3 blocks. And those numbers are absolutely amazing, even if it's against North Florida. Now, the basketball team is on an extended break during finals right now. They'll return to action Sunday against the Houston Cougars, where LSU will be looking to get a huge road win. That game will be televised by ESPN2. At 4:30. So now let's talk about a little bit about bowl season. There's a lot of they announced all of the bowl games yesterday. Of course, LSU Texas Tech, the Texas Bowl, December the 29th in Houston. The college football playoff was also announced. Where is that at? Well, I mean, it's pretty much Clemson, Oklahoma. Clemson got the top spot. Oklahoma fell back to 4th after Michigan State won the Big Ten championship. So Clemson and Oklahoma will battle it out in the Orange Bowl to face the winner of Alabama and Michigan State. So a couple of intriguing storylines here. Clemson and Oklahoma, of course, played a year ago in the Russell Athletic Bowl, where Clemson won that game 40-6. So Oklahoma will certainly be looking for redemption, and Oklahoma is a much different team for Oklahoma this year than they were last year. They got quarterback Baker Mayfield, who has been outstanding, one of my favorite players to watch this year. And then you have Alabama versus Michigan State. Nick Saban taking on his old team, of course. For those of you LSU fans who forget, he was at Michigan. He was the head coach of Michigan State before he came over to LSU. So Nick Saban taking on his old team there in Michigan State. So a couple of semifinals there. And then let's take a look at some other bowl games of interest, at least in my opinion. The Alamo Bowl over in San Antonio, Texas, January the 2nd. Oregon versus TCU. That one could very well be a very high-scoring affair. That should be a fun one to watch. Oklahoma State, Ole Miss. That could be another one that could be high-scoring. That's the Sugar Bowl over in New Orleans. So any of you people in the New Orleans area want to go check out the Sugar Bowl, there's your matchup. Oklahoma State versus Ole Miss. The Rose Bowl featuring Stanford and Iowa. The Citrus Bowl, and I know there was a lot of talk about LSU maybe going to the Citrus Bowl to take on Michigan. Well, Florida got the nod. They'll take on the Michigan Wolverines. So, unfortunately, we won't get to see Les Miles taking on his alma mater. And then another SEC game, the Outback Bowl, Tennessee taking on Northwestern. So, Tennessee, man, they quietly had a tremendous year under Butch Jones over there. They finished 8-4, and they could have easily finished 10-2. And let's not forget how Tennessee had Oklahoma on the ropes earlier this season, and now Oklahoma is in the college football playoffs. So that just goes to show you how good Tennessee is. And I actually heard something the other day about how Tennessee ranked fourth in the country in game control. I'm not exactly sure what game control means, but they ranked fourth in the country in game control. The top three that were ahead of them were all in the college football playoffs. So, Tennessee having had a wonderful year by their standards. Another early game, this will take place the day after Christmas, December 26th, UCLA versus Nebraska. That'll be the Foster Farms Bowl. Some of the early bowl games, December the 19th is when they all get underway. BYU versus Utah, the Las Vegas Bowl, that'll be an interesting one. The New Orleans Bowl, Louisiana Tech getting the bid against the Sun Belt champions, Arkansas State. So Louisiana Tech making a bowl game this year. Would have loved to see Louisiana Tech take on UL Lafayette and absolutely destroy the Cajuns a few years back whenever Louisiana Tech thought they'd get a better bowl and declined it. They never got another bowl offer, and then they were 9-3, didn't go bowling. So some other bowl games of interest. Let's see. Miami versus Washington State could be very interesting, in my opinion. That's the El Paso Bowl. The Sun Bowl in El Paso the day after Christmas. Some other ones, North Carolina versus Baylor. That could be an interesting one as well. The Russell Athletic Bowl, North Carolina versus Baylor. What else we got here? Wisconsin versus USC. That will be the Holiday Bowl. Louisville, Texas A&M. That'll be the Music City Bowl. And let's see, I'm trying to see if I can – oh, Penn State versus Georgia, the Tax Slayer Bowl. That's another bowl that maybe people thought LSU would go to, but Georgia gets the nod there. They'll take on Penn State, and then Arkansas, they'll take on Kansas State that same day, January the 2nd, in the Liberty Bowl. So a lot of bowl games here that I'm looking forward to, and there's plenty more. There's 40 bowl games, and I was actually looking – back in 2003 when LSU won the national championship. There's 40 bowl games this year. In 2003, there was only 28 bowl games. So within the last 12 years, they've added 12 bowl games. So pretty much they've, on average, since then, they've added one bowl game per year. So it's crazy how many bowl games they have now. But, hey, you know what? I'm fine with that. That's just more college football for me to watch. And a lot of great matchups too, by the way. Oh man, like these are unbelievable. Toledo versus Temple, that's another one. The Boca Raton bowl on December the 22nd, Toledo versus Temple, two teams that had great years. State Northern Illinois, Poinsettia Bowl in San Diego, that's December the 23rd. For your New Year's Eve entertainment, you have Cincinnati taking on San Diego State. Cincinnati, of course, has Gunnar Keel, and most LSU fans know who Gunnar Keel is. He was committed to go here, and then he decommitted, went over to Notre Dame, and then transferred over to Cincinnati. So, but, yeah, LSU-Texas Tech, that game will be December the 29th. It's 8 p.m., so that'll be the primetime game on December the 29th. That's going to be a fun one, I'm telling you. I've watched this Texas Tech team play a couple of times this year because I got a friend of mine I used to work with She came to graduate school here at McNeese, and she actually got her undergrad at Texas Tech. So me and her would always go back and forth about if LSU and Texas Tech would play each other. And this was 2 years ago. This was 2 years ago, when back in the 2013 season, where Texas Tech actually started 7-0 under Cliff Kingsbury. So we all always told her how, you know, LSU would absolutely wipe the floor with Texas Tech. Well, now I get to we actually going to get to see what LSU could do to Texas Tech. And I believe Kirk Herbstreit said himself that Texas Tech has no chance in this game whatsoever. But I'm certainly not counting out Texas Tech, because Texas Tech is one of those teams. They can score, and they can score at will, no matter what defense they're facing. They could probably put up a good portion of points even on Alabama. I'm that confident, because, you know, teams like Alabama, they are their weakness is trying to defend this fast-paced spread offense, and that's exactly what Texas Tech does. So, luckily, LSU is going to have time to prepare for this fast-paced spread offense from Texas Tech, and hopefully LSU can make enough plays to win this ball game, because winning your bowl game is very vital to how your team is perceived going into the following season. So, and we're going to have a lot of guys coming back next year. Brandon Harris, Fournette, of course, is coming back, all our running backs. And I guess, I don't know if Trayvon Dural is going to be leaving. Is he a senior? Not sure. Malachi Dupree will definitely be back. I don't think Trayvon Dural is a senior. Maybe he is. It's been a crazy semester for me. I don't know. It's just been one of those things. Graduate school this semester has certainly not been too kind to me, although I'm going to finish with some wonderful grades. And it was just such a busy semester that I couldn't keep up with college football as much as I would have liked. But hey, every Saturday, I promise you, I'm watching college football, and it's at the point where I only see what happens on the field. As far as during the middle of the week, what everybody's talking about, except for the whole Les Miles thing, that's about the only thing I was able to keep up with. Now, as far as the opening line to the Texas Tech game, LSU opens up as the favorite. They are, let's see, LSU opening as a 7.5-point favorite over Texas Tech. So take that for what it's worth. But Cliff Kingsbury is going to have his team ready to play in the Texas Bowl, which is could be almost a de facto home game for Texas Tech in the state of Texas. So, of course, LSU, we don't have far to drive either. Houston's only 2 hours away from me and about 4 hours from Baton Rouge. So it'll certainly be fun December the 29th. So, well, folks, time is running out. It's about time for me to wrap it up here. But thanks again for tuning in. Remember to like our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, as well as our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. LSU will take on the Red Raiders of Texas Tech in the Texas Bowl on December the 29th at 8:00 p.m. So until then, have a good week, and go Tigers.